few different experiences that we have with the Easter experience. So what is that Easter experience? Easter is a celebration where three great needs in our lives can be met. And Jesus summed up what he would do in one sentence in the chapter of the book of John, chapter 10, verse 10. And I read it this morning. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. This is the word of God for the people of God. So the first Easter experience that meets the need screams at us to notice me. You see, by character, we need to be noticed. And that need begins in the cradle, and it continues throughout our lives. We are wired for a relationship that affirms who we are. A baby cries, which is a polite way of saying, I'm cold, or I'm hungry, or I poopy here, or here I am. Notice me. And a toddler throws tantrums. A child acts up. Teens intentionally overachieve or underachieve. They dress to notice. They dress to shock. And they dress for style. Teens and adults will adopt addictive behaviors to say, look at me. I can smoke. Yep. Oh, by the way, I can drink too. And you would be amazed at the famous cuss words that I can say. And it goes on, I can, etc., etc., etc. Or they go through a self-destructive behavior. Anorexia, bulimia, cutting, hair pulling, and self-mutilation. You see, all of the bragging, all of the comparisons with others, the judging of others, the defiance, the compulsion, talking the talk, trying to reach perfectionism, it's all tied to this need we have for someone to notice that I have worth. Easter is the reminder of the declaration that God notices us. John 3:16-17 says this, I know you know this, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall perish and have eternal life. But listen to this. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Now you just tell me that God doesn't notice us. Through the actions that God has taken, where he loved us so much that he gave his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us because God notices us. He knows we are here. He wants us to be saved. So the second Easter experience meets the needs that screams, accept me. notice me is not good enough. We want to be accepted. So coupled with the need that says notice me is a need that screams, once you notice me, accept me. But that runs directly into a problem that we have. Deep down, each of us has a terrible, terrible secret. Deep down, each of us goes, we're not always very nice. We're not always very good. We're not always as together as we may seem on the outside. Deep down, each of us know that beneath the surface lies an inner broken person, a version of ourselves that is less than flattering. Most of us seek to live very controlled lives, some more than others. Some reject that control. Some welcome it. We don't want our inner jerk or our inner dummy or our inner thug to come out and see the inner us that is less than flattering because we live in fear that if people really knew what we were like, they would reject us in an instant. We go to great lengths to be accepted. Some of us recognize all these things that I just mentioned. And in our dire, dire need to be accepted, we do everything in our power to hide them because we fear we won't be accepted if people knew the real me. But I want a surprise for you, maybe. You don't hide them from God. He knows them. And even though he knows them, the Easter experience tells us that he accepts us even with all of our little funny inner things. We go to great lengths to become accepted. We will put on masks to please others. We will do everything in our power to try and present ourselves in different manner than what is really us because we want to be accepted. Some of us even do that when we deal with Christ, with God. We try to mask who we are. Because we want God to accept us. Let me give you an example. I'm a Christian. Yep. I love you, God. Yep. And then we go about doing all the things that are against what we say we are. Being a Christian is far more than just sitting here on a Sunday morning and singing and praising and worship and then go out Monday morning and do all of these things that are against what we profess to be. And we think we're fooling God when we come to church and worship. We think we're fooling God when we say, I love you. When we really don't. We think we're fooling God when we do things other than what he has commanded us, or when we don't do things that he has commanded. You know, there are two kinds of sins. One is doing and one is omission. I think we get really, really good at omission sometimes. And don't recognize it as a sin. We try too hard to fit in. We become phony or eager to please. We will judge others for being phony when we are. We will judge people for pushing us away. We will fix them and we plot their revenge and their downfall. Yeah. We will manipulate others. We will present ourselves as pathetic, overly needy. We will hide behind labels like bipolar or depressed or ADHD. And since my intolerance against a label or a handicap is wrong, we say, accept me anyway. Well, we as humans are really good at not doing that. Well, we might be kind to them when they come in the morning. Or we might be kind to them when we deal with them during the week. But then we get away and we say, you know that so-and-so, That's not accepting. But I want to tell you something. When we leave the presence of God, God is not standing aside saying, you know that, because he accepts us as we are. He don't care if we're depressed or bipolar or diagnosed ADHD. He accepts us in spite of it and because of it. He will never push away those who come to him. That is perfect acceptance. The Last Supper, the trial, the crucifixion, the resurrection is perfect acceptance. The only thing that could cause God to reject us is sin. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. You see, that's the purpose of the resurrection. The purpose is forgiveness. I think I mentioned this Friday evening and it's just stuck with me ever since I've heard it. Rennie and I listened to Dr. Jeffress one morning this past week. And he made a statement that just kind of stuck with me. And he said this, if the resurrection had not happened, then we who profess to be Christians are all liars. You ever think of that? But we're not. Because we know the resurrection did happen. And we know that because of it, God notices us and accepts us. One other thing, the resurrection screams, satisfy me. You see, we've all been wired with the need that screams, satisfy me. As a baby, what did we do when we were hungry? What did we do when we felt afraid or cold or dirty or wet? You see, we're wired for pleasure. We're wired for purpose. And we're wired for enjoyment. So as kids, as long for the school to be out, and then within a week we moaned, we're bored, there's nothing to do. We wanted to get out of school because we were bored. We didn't like school, some of us more than others. And it wasn't too long. We didn't find that satisfaction while being out of school that we thought was there. But we can find that satisfaction in the resurrection. Our bellies hunger as adults, and we want satisfaction. We want to be entertained. There's another dirty little secret about ourselves. We stink at meeting the satisfy me need. We're not good at it at all. We think we are. Oh, you know, if I only had this, I would be so satisfied. As soon as we get it, if I only had that, I would really be satisfied. When we should be saying, because of the resurrection, I am satisfied because Christ gave his life for me. And I am satisfied that I can spend eternity with him at the throne of God. Amen. Thank you. That's real, perfect satisfaction. How many of us have ever overeaten at Thanksgiving? Or how many of us have overeaten at a buffet? Or on a couch while watching a movie or a game? How many have spent more time than would like to admit playing a game? Or browsing online? Or chatting on Facebook? How many of us in our desire for peace and safety ignore risk and purposes? How many have made getting ahead our passion? You know, my dad used to say about this overeating. You know, eating is a form of entertainment. Anybody know that? Really is. What's the first thing you want to do when you're sitting at home bored? Besides nothing being in the refrigerator. Oh, let's go out and get an Arby's. Or let's go do this, or let's go do that. How many of us meet with friends and go out to eat rather than sit in our living room and visit? You see what I'm saying? My dad used to say, you know, at Thanksgiving or Easter or Christmas, whatever the occasion is, we're just like old hogs. We eat until we're full and we go lay down on the couch because we don't feel good. So we're eating because we want to be satisfied, and it ends up being miserable. Well, I promise you this. If you seek Jesus Christ and want to be satisfied, you will not be miserable. It will be the joyous occasion that you have ever experienced. That is an Easter experience. How many have made getting ahead our passion, even if we bend the rules? Or get paid under the table? How many of us have sabotaged a co-worker? You know, there's a lot of people in this world that like to make themselves look good by making other people look bad. Do you ever notice that? Oh, I see it all of the time. Sometimes I'm even guilty of it, not even knowing that's what I'm doing. How many of us have sacrificed family for extra hours or for extra pay? You know, my son's got a little league game tonight. Geez, if I stayed 2 extra hours, I'd get double time. Guess which one suffers? Because there's more satisfaction in getting that money than there is watching your son play Little League. How many have run up debt beyond reason so that we can have more stuff? Somebody said one time, the bigger the boy, the bigger the toy. Somebody else said, when it's all said and done, the toys are still in the garage. How many of us have made ourselves, our desires, and our goals all important? We know we have desires. And all of us should have goals. And they all should be important to us. But not more important than experiencing the Easter experience. That is what's most important. Period. When we look at our lives, each one reveals our pursuit of the need that screams, "Satisfy me." Everything that I have mentioned here in the last couple of minutes all says, "Satisfy me." And I tried to touch on here for a few minutes on what depth we are willing to go to satisfy ourselves, because we don't recognize that "satisfy me" is in the Easter experience. As we journey with Jesus and his love and acceptance, we learn the secrets he has for our satisfaction. You see, he promises life to the full. There could not be a better life than a life with Jesus Christ. Tell me, somebody, I dare you, tell me that that is not satisfaction. He is saying, come with me and get it straight. He is saying, get it right. And you know why he's saying that? Number one, because he loves us. Number two, because eternity is a long, long time. No beginning, no end. Where will you want to spend it? I want to spend it in an environment that is ultra satisfying. And that can only be heaven. Because in heaven, there is the presence of God and the Son, Jesus Christ, sitting at that throne. What is the Easter experience? It is bonding our lives with Jesus. It is letting him meet the needs that scream, notice me, accept me, satisfy me. That life begins with prayer, and it continues as a journey within our community. So this morning, at Carlisle Church, I think that we are or should be seeking to discover what the Easter experience means for each of us. Rather, you are just beginning, or you're restarting after a lag in your walk with Christ, or pressing on to what lies ahead. I challenge you this morning. Seek to experience the Easter experience. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you.